Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefrey, and this is episode number 197. Excited to have Catherine Alexander with us today. Catherine and I met at the Texas Strength and Conditioning Clinic a while back when I was speaking there. She's friends with Ed Costner and introduced us and was just really blown away by her, just the way her personality, the way that she's, her confidence, and the things that she does, and wanted to bring her on the show. We get into a lot of different things on this episode. We talk about her background as an exercise physiologist coming out of LSU, working with some in the tactical population, and then kind of migrating her way to being a personal trainer at Hyde Park in Austin, Texas, where she's built a brand and a niche for herself in a gym that's typically reserved for. It's got Olympic platforms, it's got, strongman equipment, and you see this, attractive woman that's in this setting that you wouldn't think that she would be in, this kind of environment, and yet she's flourishing and she fits right in and does a fantastic job. So super excited to have Catherine on the show, today. Before we get going though, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors. We have our sponsor for this episode, Samson. Really appreciate Samson. Gotten a chance to get to know these guys a lot more throughout the course of the last year. They've always made a great product. They've always done a fantastic job. And just really appreciate the craftsmanship and the effort that they go into designing great rooms for people all over the place. I would encourage you, if you're not following Samson on social media, make sure to do so. They just came out with a new catalog. So I would definitely get that and make sure that you're looking to see if there's anything that fits your program. But what they do a great job of, is, as you can tell here, and I've been out to this room out in Colorado, is taking your ideas, putting them on a blueprint, and then having that, taking that from concept to completion. And I think so many times as coaches, what we need to do is we need to sell a vision. We need to create a vision for our administration, our boosters, and so on and so forth. And so every time that I've gone about trying to make change wherever I've been, I first set off by creating a vision, and getting mock-ups like these is a great first step, because for most people it's hard to visualize. And so if you're in the market, if you're working on a new room or you're wanting to remodel your room, I would encourage you to reach out to Samson. Get a new rendering, and then just follow them. If for nothing else, follow them on social media to see some of the cool projects that they got going on. Just put it in the Red Sox, and on down the line. So they've got some really cool things going on with these platforms. If you have not seen these, they're able to screen on an image onto the wood. And so it's a wood insert with a screen-on image. Really, really cool, and some creative things that you can do with that. So reach out to Samson. Let them know how much you appreciate them supporting the show and just the support they give back to our community. Lastly, before we get going here, I want to make sure you guys all know about our Play Summits. We have March 18th here. We have our Play Summit at Woodstock, Georgia. So if you're in the Southeast, I would highly encourage you to attend this. We have Dan John, Donnie Mabe, Jesse Ackerman from the Falcons. We have Tim Anderson from Original Strength and Ingrid Markham. I'm missing some. Mike Buehle from Clemson basketball. All fantastic speakers. March 25th, we have up in Baltimore at Under Armour facility. We have Aaron Wellman from the Giants. We have Craig Fitzgerald from the Texans. We have Zach Ebenesh, Joe Connolly from UMass, Rick Court from Maryland, and Dana Santos, the mobility maker herself, all attending and speaking. And I would highly encourage, we've had great turnout so far. I think 130-something in Australia, 150-something in Indianapolis. You know, and everybody's walking out of there with smiles on their face and talking about how great of a clinic it's been. And Atlanta and Baltimore for sure will not be a disappointment at all. And so reach out to Place Summits. Go to placesummits.com. Register there online, and we'll make sure to see you there at those locations. Want to get to this episode with Catherine. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side.
All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have Catherine Alexander with us today. Catherine and I met at the Texas clinic through Ed Costner, a mutual friend of ours, and just got a chance to kind of connect with her online and whatnot since. But real excited to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Catherine, you're a personal trainer in Hyde Park in Austin, Texas, you know, and what I'd like you to do is kind of take us through your journey. What got you into fitness and strength and conditioning, and then what, you know, the steps that you've taken to kind of land there in mm-hmm. Austin?
Sure. Well, it's
you're a Louisiana girl. We got to figure out how you got from Louisiana to Austin, Texas.
Yeah, we'll start there. I'm from a really small town where there was nothing to do but get in trouble or go to the gym.
Yeah.
So I just hung out at the gym a whole lot.
That's awesome.
And, you know, when it came time to go to college, I didn't know really what I wanted to do, but I love learning about exercise. So I studied kinesiology at LSU, and we had, so much fun, a great football team those years.
Right.
It was a really good time to be there. And then when I finished, the economy wasn't as good. It was hard to find a job. And I had never thought of just working for myself. I wasn't as proactive as I should have been. So I decided I'll go back to grad school. So I loved college. I just went back.
Me too.
Yeah. It's so much fun to just keep learning.
Right.
So I went to UT. That's what brought me to Austin. And from here, I got my master's in exercise physiology from UT. I spent some time at the Human Performance Lab. And I thought I might stay in research at the time, but I realized I don't want to do my own research. I love helping out. I love reading it, but I didn't want to run a lab.
Right.
So instead of I did a graduate internship with the Austin Fire Department, which was fantastic. And really applying it to something that mattered, a career that mattered, made all the difference.
Sure.
So I loved that. Along the way, I worked at a couple of big box gyms that I really didn't like.
Yeah, sure.
And so I decided to work for myself out of Hyde Park, which is this fun little unique gym here. We've got tons of platforms and strongman type stuff, sleds. So I get to really apply real good training methodologies. And that's how I ended up here.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, I think so many of us, and I think that's – it shows the type of person you are is to kind of have that courage to kind of eventually just decide to go out on your own because you want to create the environment or the work, you know, the work that you're meant to do on your own terms. And it's a testament to you. What do you think? I mean, obviously it hasn't been that long, but what do you think is the biggest mistake you've made kind of in coaching, you know, your clients and athletes, and how you learn from that?
You know, the biggest mistake I made is probably a career mistake. So I just read your book last month.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
A month ago. And I really wish in my early 20s, I worked hard like you did.
Sure.
I wish I just, found the best team I could and ground out as much as I could learn. I didn't work with any teams like you did. I think I'd be a better trainer for that.
Mm-hmm.
Having a more well-rounded athletic teams background. And that's something I wish I had done. You really did. Your book is fantastic.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
What was your biggest takeaway from the book besides that?
Working hard? What I liked about it was that you covered how to make a living off of it, you know, things that most strength coaches don't talk about. So you talk about programming, smart programming, but at the same time you talked about having multiple streams of income and thinking about yourself as your business, mm-hmm. which is something that just did not occur to me when I was younger. And
yeah, I think ahead. No, I think that that's absolutely right. I think that's something that we always, you know, when anytime any profession, whatever profession that is, you know, if you put all your eggs in one bucket, you know, there's potential for that to go away, you know. And so how do you survive the moments of transition and the times where, you know, business isn't as good as a personal trainer, you know, and if you don't have these, you know, other buckets that you could fill or put more effort into when right. one is struggling, then it, you know, you're living paycheck to paycheck as a coach, and it's not what you want to do as a, you know, when you have a family and all those types of things. And so, I'm glad, you know, yeah, I think we'll get into that as we go, but one thing I did want to talk about and bring out of your story was that, you know, you have this interest and in, you worked with Austin Fire Department and this interest in tactical kind of strength and conditioning, you know, where did, and obviously maybe that was part of the internship, but what did you learn from that experience?
So the internship was fantastic. It was the first time I really got to work with people who, I was still kind of new to Austin. So they had the, you know, the time and money to get out there and enjoy it. They really take pride in what they do.
Sure.
And, you know, of course there are desk jobs and they can promote up, but most of them, if, you know, if they don't have their health, they don't have anything.
Right.
So it just mattered so much to take care of them. And AFD does a really great job taking care of them. About maybe 3 years after my internship, I came on as full-time staff as an exercise physiologist, and I stayed there for, it was considered a temporary position for a year, but they have a whole wellness department. They do such a great job of making sure the firefighters, and then now police and medics know how to take care of their back. You know, when they move people, they know how to be conditioned, and that field to me, I just love it because it's so important that we take care of them.
Right. No, I couldn't agree. You know, having worked in special forces, I mean, I think, you know, we're lucky that we have people that are willing to run in when other people are running out, and mm-hmm. kind of yeah. always being ready to go is you know, it's taxing on the you know, the sympathetic nervous system, you know, mm-hmm. sympathetic system and, you know, a lot of times those guys have a hard time kind of getting in that parasympathetic state where they're being able to relax and those types of things. And so coaching, right. you know, the body, sometimes you find yourself coaching the mind every bit as much as you're coaching the body with mm-hmm. those individuals. And I know you've taken that and applied that to, you know, general population and your clients there at Hyde Park. I mean, what do you... You talked off camera a little bit about having to always kind of be ready for real life. What do you mean by that?
I just think it's so important that you can take care of yourself and take care of your own people. If you find yourself in a situation where help isn't right there. And I know that sounds, it might sound paranoid, but you don't plan for emergencies. You know, you don't plan for your car to break down and expect that you're going to have to walk 2 miles. Right. Not that that's extreme, but in some situations it is.
Sure.
And to some people it is. So I just think it's really important to be able to take care of yourself in addition to training for vanity goals, which are fine. I have no problem with that if my clients want, you know,
after spring break or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I have goals for them too that go beyond how they look and go into how they perform and how they feel. So
sure. You know, you work in at Hyde Park. It's a, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, there's strongman equipment. That's racks and rigs, you know, your plates and bumpers, and it's not your typical kind of personal training studio, mm-hmm. you know, and you're a, you know, I don't know how, you know, 5'5", 5'3", you know, blonde haired mm-hmm. girl from Louisiana, you know, you don't look like you would fit into this kind of meathead, not that it's a meathead gym, but kind of this rough environment, you know. Uh-huh. How have you been able to go in and just be, you know, you in this environment and you know, make an impact the way that you do?
I try to keep my eyes open and my mouth shut, which doesn't always work, but I have found, I'm about 5'5". I'm not the strongest person out there. I have always listened and watched, and every time I ask, people always help. If I ask questions about methodology, I mean, that's how I met you at a conference.
Right.
And I loved what you said. I loved your presentation. And so I've seen you again since, and it's just learning from, you know, if I just posted something a little while ago about how, you know, there's a stereotype about meatheads, but people in the gym are smart. They're kind. The people who are really great at strength and conditioning, they give back.
No question.
If you have your athlete's best interest in mind, your client's best interest in mind, I think the world is open to helping you.
No question. I agree with you 100%. And you're right. I mean, strength coaches, personal trainers, performance coaches, some of the most brilliant people you'll ever meet, you know, and being able to, you know, I think like you said, I mean, having a skill set where you're able to walk into an environment that's maybe foreign, you know, to you, and being able to make that your own, that's a skill set that a lot of people, you know, don't have, you know, and you know, applied to any other profession, you know, mm-hmm. would make you the CEO or, you know, make you make lots and lots of money. And when you have a heart of giving back, like most of us do, mm-hmm. And this thirst and quest for knowledge, you know, that's what makes this a great profession. It's what connects fantastic people. And, I think that that's something that, you know, is missing in the world, and thank God we got people that are trying their best to make that daily impact the way they can. You mentioned, you know, you made a post, and one of the things that I've really, you know, noticed from afar and you know, we've talked about a little bit is, you know, the fact that you've built this personal brand for yourself, not just in that one gym, but you've taken it online, you've reached out, and you've worked hard to build this brand and this image for yourself. And talk a little bit about, like, you know, what were the first steps? I mean, there's a lot of coaches that are listening to this that are saying, okay, you know, I'm a personal trainer at one of those big box gyms that you're talking about. How do I take it to the next level?
You know, I started my website about 3 years ago, really out of necessity. So I wanted to put first on there information that people would ask me. So it saved me time and it helped my clients. Because you'll have people ask you all the time, hey, how do I get my squat up? And that's not a, like, 2 minutes between clients answer.
Sure.
So the questions I started getting, I would write them down and I'd post them. So then I can say, hey, you know, I don't have time right now, but let me email that to you. And so I'd send them a link and then we keep up, and then I can help them that way. Business-wise, it helps you too to keep reaching people. So I use Squarespace.
Yep.
Now it's just like drag and drop building. It's easy just to get it done, because, I mean, I'm not going to build a perfect website. I don't know how to do that. But as long as you keep producing, like you do your podcast, some people are great at writing or how-to videos, just put yourself out there, and then you will start to find your niche. You'll start to find who you want to work with, who you help best. And, you know, in absence of spending, you know, years like you did, that was probably the biggest takeaway from your book, is how hard you worked for so long. I'm kind of catching up, and I just decided to put it all online.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you said two things in there that I really, really liked. One is, you know, that's one of the biggest questions that I get from coaches is, you know, well, what do I write about? Or what do I, you know, what do I post? Or, you know, if I'm going to be putting myself out there, what should I do? And you hit it right on the head. I mean, just what are the daily questions that you're getting, you know? Mm-hmm. And if these are common questions, or you're getting questions from coaches, or you hear some things that are constantly talked about, those become really good blog posts or videos or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, it's if you have that question, then probably there's a lot of other coaches that have it as well, you know, mm-hmm. or there's, if that client has that question, maybe there's a lot of other clients that do as well. And putting it in a different medium, you know, it's just, it's good content that you can share. And, you know, when coaches look at it as a, like a self-promoting type of thing, yeah, then it seems dirty, you know, in some ways. But if you're looking at it as a way to try to help somebody, mm-hmm. that changes your mentality. And I think a lot of coaches, you know, I was just talking to somebody earlier about, you know, the persona of, you know, like, you know, coaches that are on social media that maybe don't know what they're talking about, or putting out bad content or material or whatever. And it's, to me, my answer is always, that's why there needs to be good coaches out there doing it.
Yes.
You know, if there's bad information out there, well, that's our fault. Then that means that we're not doing a good job of putting good information out there.
Right.
You know, and I know that you do that quite a bit with what you do. I think the second thing you mentioned is finding your niche. You know, I think that that's something that, you know, I call that your unique selling proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, what makes you unique? What, you know, what can you, there's another good book, Good to Great by Jim Collins. And it talks about, you know, finding what you can be the very best in the world at, you know, and so, you know, whenever you're, you know, it's easy to seem like when you're a young trainer or a young strength coach or young, you know, just getting started in the profession, it's like, it can seem insurmountable trying to figure out how do you become that success or how do you provide a living for yourself even, you know, and, but if you really niche down into maybe tactical, maybe moms that are, you know, that are coming back from, you know, giving birth, or maybe it's quarterbacks or whatever it might be, when you niche down and you become an expert in it and you put in the Simon Sinek 10,000 hours, you know, and become the number one expert, well, then you could start to branch out from there. But you become the person, the go-to person to go give presentations and put out content and things like for that. So I'm really glad that you mentioned those two things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's exactly like you said. I keep harassing Ed Cosner to write more.
Yeah.
Because he's so great.
Yeah.
And he has some really solid general knowledge, but he's fantastic with rugby and developing, you know, power and sport, power and strength athletes.
Right.
And so it's the same deal. It's like he's so knowledgeable in this one niche, and I want him to be louder out there. And that's how I met Matt Winning. I love his book, which is A Guide to Training Tactical Populations.
Yeah.
Like you said, we need the good coaches to put their stuff out there.
You know, and it's tough because, I mean, you're training all day long. You're putting, mm-hmm. You're putting articles out there and stuff like that, and it's easy to get caught in your space and your environment and just kind of drill down on that. But, you know, I think that especially you're in a personal training type of environment, there's only so many hours in the day that you can train people, you know? And so you're going to have to replicate yourself somehow, some way. Some people do it by building gyms and building businesses. Some people do it by, you know, maybe doing distance coaching or group training or whatever. And, most of the people that are listening to this are strength coaches, and that's, you know, again, same thing. When you're drilled down into just your environment, then yeah, it's hard to kind of make it. Mm-hmm. What's going to separate you out is when you go the extra mile. You know, when everybody else is going home and they're watching TV, and you're doing writing a blog post or whatever it takes. And I know you've done that throughout your entire career, and that's why you've had the success you've had, and it's also why, you know, a personal trainer from Austin, Texas knows Matt Winning and knows Ed Costner and knows, you know, all these people that you've been able to meet because you're willing to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And thus, like you said, a lot of people like that are great at what they do, mm-hmm. they identify that themselves in those type of people, you know, and are willing to give the shirt off their back to try to help them, mm-hmm. you know, any way they can. And I think that's, you know, what we all try to do, but I'm glad that you mentioned those two things, because I think that's a big important aspect of this profession that we need to continue to build.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we end the show, Catherine, with some resources. Give us the best piece of advice, business advice, coaching advice, whatever it may be that you ever received.
I think that the general idea is just to keep learning and networking, you know, meet people. We're all better for knowing each other and for learning. You know, I could learn everything I ever could from you, and I still wouldn't take your job. You know, like we're in no danger from other people learning from us. So keep sharing.
I agree with that 100%. You know, and that's, again, so many people want to, you know, they think that they have the magic pill or the secret or whatever it is. And it's you know, everything's stolen some way, shape or form. You know, that's why it is. That's why it's so important. That's why I talk about on the show that I love nothing more than interviewing, originators, you know, people that have had original work, you know, mm-hmm. and, That's so important. What about, I mean, I know you mentioned the book from Matt Winning, but you know, a book, app, and website recommendation.
I love podcasts. I just tear them up. I like Jocko Willing's podcast.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Ownership. I listen to his podcast a lot. And I'll listen to, you know, random business podcasts here and there. That's where I get most of what I listen to. And then your book really was fabulous. I can't say it was foundational because I just read it 2 months ago. I wish I had read it 10 years ago, but that one.
Me and too.
Then, I know, right? When did you write it? It wasn't 2 years
ago. Oh, no, a little over a year ago, probably 2 years ago. But I wish I would. What I tell people all the time is I wrote the book that I wish I had 15 years ago, you know? Yeah. And hopefully I'm glad that it was helpful, but I don't want to make this about my book. What about a website? Is there any websites?
What websites do I go to most? I read a lot of research. I read a lot from the NSCA.
Okay.
I keep up with a lot of that stuff. I just love reading research.
Sure.
I don't want to do research. I don't come up with the ideas anymore, which is why I'm not a professor.
Right.
But that's great to read. It's really definitely not fluff.
Sure.
I like that.
That's awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I think that the big thing, you know, is that we talked about early on is whenever, you know, what I love about this profession is meeting great people. And when we first met, I could see the passion in you. I could see you just got a special way about you, about just having some good energy. And I think that's something that, you know, at those skills, you know, they're not, you know, they're not taught. They can only be worked at, you know, but you have it in spades. So really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It was my honor.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.